going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
We are back as we get into hour number two of the program, taking until 8 o'clock this evening. At 8 o'clock, Jen Cease is going to be in for City Spotlight. 1 hour taking a look at all things City SC. After they picked up a point this past weekend, a scoreless tie. We'll see what they can do. They've got Sunday night soccer this week once again as they try to get things going. So Jen's going to be in here in about an hour or so after the 8 o'clock news. I always say, so weekday day games, we do the extra inning show, which, by the way, if you listen to Cardinals baseball and you are not aware of this, I'll let you know. After every Cardinals game, we have like the network post-game show. That's the post-game show that goes out across the entire Cardinal radio network, the 150-plus stations that exist. And then we have the extra inning show, which is just on KMOX, and that's where we give you an opportunity to call and text and tweet, and we talk through things and everything. So if you turn off your radio as soon as the game ends, or maybe as soon as the network post-game ends, and you don't realize, there's more coming up. We go deep into the night after games. Well, weekday day games, we don't always get the opportunity to take the phone calls and the text and all that sort of stuff, so we try to save that for Sports Open Line. So here we are. If you would like to talk Cardinals baseball, this is the opportunity to do so. You can call or text at 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's the number to call or text. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. And if you are watching on one of our various social media channels, you can leave a comment, and that comment comes right into our studio, and I can see it, and I can address that as well. So multiple ways to get connected in here. And we will start with some text messages. First off, just a couple things that I think are just wrong, and they are connected to Oliver Marmol. And if you are somebody who listens to me on a normal basis, I think you know that I'm a fan of his. I think he's a good manager. That doesn't mean, I always put the disclaimer, that doesn't mean I agree with everything he does. And bluntly, there are some moves that he's made here recently when it comes to the bullpen that I would have taken a different path. Now, it's also important to understand that even if I would have taken a different path, I understand his reasoning. That's one of the, again, you've heard this me say this before, one of the things I appreciate about the man is that he does have a legitimate reason for everything that he does, and he is more than willing to explain it and defend it. That's part of what we do on Tuesdays. If you haven't listened to him on Tuesdays at 12 noon, he's on the Gas House Gang with Chris Ranji and Bernie and Tom Ackerman. They do a half hour with him, and he takes questions and comments from listeners and everything. So it's a really good opportunity to get to understand a little bit of what he is thinking. So I don't always agree with him on moves, but I always understand why he is doing things. And I think that's, I don't ever get the sense that he's just doing stuff because he threw it up against the wall and he's going to try it. Like, I think there's always a reason behind it. So to that end, like, we got a text message from the 512 that says, Ali's not a leader. I always wonder where people get this stuff from. And, you know, because that's kind of along the same lines as Ali's lost the clubhouse. No, he hasn't. And how would you know? And I think the second part of that's the more important part. How would you know? Are you in the clubhouse? I talk to guys, and I know the respect that players have for Oliver Marmol because I've got some access that some people don't. But even with, like, I wouldn't know. Like, even I get an hour in the clubhouse before home games when I'm there. Like, that, even not even that's enough to really know. It's more about the personal conversations that I've been able to have. So he hasn't lost the clubhouse. He is a good leader. All those sort of things. And I think we need to have a legitimate conversation about some of the decisions that are being made. Again, I would not have pitched Ryan Fernandez today. I would maybe push Kyle Leahy a couple innings the other day when he came out at 13 pitches. That probably, you know, that was when Phil Maton came in and he struggled. He pitched a bunch lately. I think you give yourself a better chance with Leahy than Maton might have been available today because he didn't pitch that day. Like, there's some bullpen decisions that he has made that I understand why he's making them. I would have done them differently if I was running them, but I don't think they're per se like just flat out bad decisions. I understand the fact that he has a trust of guys who have done the job before. I get that. I 100% get that. You've never seen Swanson do anything, but you've seen Ryan Fernandez do something, so you're leaning on the trust that this guy has done it before and he can do it again. That is a legitimate line of thinking, even if it's something that in the moment I would not take that path. Mark has given us a call. Hey, Mark, you're on Sports Open Line.
Taking my call, man. You know, Ed, this is an interesting discussion, and I agree with all I've heard you say. But I think that if you want to get different results, then you have to do some different things. I noticed that it's cold now. Seventh, eighth, you have a seventh inning man, an eighth inning man, and a ninth inning man. Some teams have that, and it works well for them because of dependability. But I think what has to happen for right now, of course, has been said over and over again, the person that you bring up, you got to trust them. You never would know what they can do unless they're given the opportunity. But I think that if they keep Matt in the bullpen, that can be a long man, and keep there as another potential long man. Of course, you wouldn't be able to use him as much as, but when the game is on the line, like today, and you got an off day tomorrow, then when the game is on the line, you can't get to Hosley, your closer. But what about bringing him in to get one or two outs in the eighth inning and then at least take it to the ninth to give your team opportunity to score, whereas that you possibly could win the game but then to lose the game in the seventh or the eighth inning? A lot of that's been happening only because of the fact that you're doing the same thing and you're going with the same guy and you're getting the same results. So I think that if you maybe change it up a little bit. And then I think you had to go back to the gut managers back in the day. I know things are different, but then sometimes when you see, like you mentioned about Leahy, you see he's getting guys out, didn't throw many pitches, let him go an additional in it. If you have a luxury where you had more people down there that you can call up on and you know you can give them the ball, they're going to get you out of the inning and get you to Hosley. That's different. You don't have that luxury in terms of that. So you have to do something different in that regard. That's just my recommendation.
Yeah, Mark, I certainly appreciate the phone call. And actually, I have a general agreement with you. Like, I think last year where you had the 7th, 8th, and 9th covered between Kittredge, Romero, and Helsley, you could be really, really strict in the way that you go about using your bullpen every day and have super defined roles. I think when the bullpen is leaking oil a little bit, I think for a little while you try to stick with the very defined roles and see if everything kind of gets back on track. But if it's not working, I do, you know, that's why I mentioned the thing the other day. Like, he was at 13 pitches, and you've used him in multiples before. You can bring him back. I don't love the idea of Helsley in the eighth inning unless you're in maybe a little bit of trouble and you need him to come in to get that final out. I love the way they used Helsley last year. It got him to a point where he was the best closer in baseball. But generally speaking, I think it's okay when you're in a spot like you are in right now to be a little bit more creative in the way you do things. Mike has given us a call. Mike, I got just a quick moment for you, but you're on Sports Overline.
Thank you very much. I hope it's nice to talk to you. I worry about Fernandez and putting him in this role all the time when he's not doing very well. I think that they should send him back to the minors and get him back to working on his confidence and working on himself esteem. I don't think it does good for him to be put in this role all the time and, you know, not being able to do well. It doesn't do him any good. It doesn't do the Cardinals any good.
Yeah, Mike, appreciate the phone call, and I don't think he's going to be on the active roster on Friday. I don't have any like inside information or anything, but I think we all have eyes, right? And it gets to a point where you're just not accomplishing much by throwing him out there. Now, that being said, Oliver Marmol says in the post-game media session today that, you know what, there's nobody at Memphis that's ready to come in and help, and that the guys they have are the guys that they've got to get going. So there's not a lot of faith, there's not a lot of confidence in players who may come up, but there's been a lot of talk this year about using that shuttle, about using that shuttle between St. Louis and Memphis. And to me, just for his own good at this point. Like, how terrible is it? Ryan Fernandez is a great guy. Ryan Fernandez is someone who was a huge part of a really good bullpen last year. He feels terrible. I can tell you, he feels terrible that he's not pitching well right now. He feels like he's letting the team down. All these things. Fernandez is still a really big part of this bullpen moving forward. Long term, Ryan Fernandez has a very, very bright future in the Cardinals bullpen. He might be the closer of the future for the Cardinals. This has zero implications on my thoughts about what his role is going to be moving forward. But for his own good, as some of his pitches are not working, and you're not winning games by a lot of runs where you can put him into low pressure situations, and you're overusing the bullpen, and you've got a guy in there already that you don't totally trust in Matt Swanson, get Fernandez to Memphis, let him work on some things down there, let the pressure come off of him for a little while, get him right, and then he'll be back with the big club before we know it. We're going to switch gears. We're going to talk some football. Rich Sermonello covers the NFL draft for a number of publications, and he is going to join us coming up in just a moment or so as the NFL draft does get underway tomorrow night. Back with more in just a moment. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know, I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
We are back at it. We've talked a lot of Cardinals baseball today. We've talked a lot of Blues hockey. Big event coming up tomorrow evening, though, and over the next few days is the NFL draft getting underway in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And we're very happy to welcome on to the program someone we love talking football with, Vice President of College Awards with the Maxwell Football Club, also works with SNY's NFL draft analyst, contributing to a number of different publications, including Phil Steele's magazine, which is the best that there is when it comes to preview magazines. He is Rich Sermonello. You follow him on Twitter at Rich Sermonello. Rich, always appreciate you taking some time with us today. How are you?
I always appreciate the invite. I'm doing well, Matt.
Yeah, so this NFL draft gets underway tomorrow. It doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of intrigue at the top. Everybody says Cam Ward to Tennessee, Travis Hunter to Cleveland, Abdul Carter to the Giants, Will Campbell to New England. Do you agree with all that? Where do you start to maybe see some intrigue start to come in here? Do we have Rich?
Yeah, I'm sorry. You just cut out there for a second, Matt. Do you have me?
Yeah, I got you. All right, sorry about that. What I was saying was it doesn't seem like, especially in the first few picks, it feels like everybody sort of agrees with the top three, four picks and who's going to be going where. Where do you see maybe some intrigue start to play into this thing?
I still think there's a possibility. You know, it's not a great quarterback draft class, and I concede that. Even, you know, with Cam Ward going number one to Tennessee, where does Shador go at that point? I still think there's going to be a buyer. I have a feeling that you're going to have someone, possibly the Saints look to move up a little bit to grab a quarterback. So, yeah, I don't think there's a lot of intrigue. There's some terrific players in the top 10. I know a lot of folks are saying not a lot of sex appeal because we don't have that true franchise quarterback, but I would not be shocked to see someone trade up into the 10, and that's where the shakeups will begin.
How good can Cam Ward be? Like, is he worthy of a number one pick, or is this just, to your point, it's not a quarterback-heavy or at least a top-heavy quarterback draft, so he just kind of becomes the number one pick almost by default?
Yeah, I love the story, and I love the kid, and he's obviously going to have a chip on his shoulder. For those who don't know, very few offers coming out of high school. College career began at Incarnate Word in the FCS, goes to Wazoo, and then finished his career last year with Miami. Tremendous arm talent, A great kid, good mobility inside and outside of the pocket. Is he the best player in this draft? Absolutely not. Reminds me of Baker Mayfield. I think the question becomes, do you get Cleveland Baker? Do you get Tampa Baker? You know, we'll see. I think under normal, if it's next year and you have Arch and you have Drew Aller and Garrett Nussmeier and maybe even Cade Klubnik, I think Cam Ward would drop in the draft, but it, fortunate for him, and not a great quarterback draft class, so he's going to go number one overall.
Who do you think is the best player in the draft?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. There's two kids I love. You know, if you were just ranking in terms of, I'll give you three. Travis Hunter, clearly a unique unicorn-type player, but Ashton Jeanty on offense, the running back from Boise State, runner-up for the Heisman. I just think he's got Saquon-type qualities, Bijan from Texas, Atlanta Falcons. I think he's exceptional. Great kid. We spent time with him last month. He was our Maxwell Award winner. Great kid, great family. I think wherever he goes, he's going to be exceptional. Defensively, Mason Graham, the interior defensive lineman from Michigan. Michigan, for as bad as they were on the field for most of the year last year, could have three first-round defensive players. So Will Johnson, Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant. So but Jeanty and Mason Graham, I think those are two slam dunks.
Is there any risk, though, with taking a running back, let's say, with a top five pick? Some people have him going as high as number five.
Yeah, I think there's always risk. Decent amount of mileage. He was the bell cow. He was the offense at Boise State. Durability was never an issue. Very strong player. But, yeah, in this era, would I be inclined to take a running back that high? Probably not. Would I wait possibly to the second or third round, grab someone like O'Marrion Hampton from North Carolina? I would be inclined to wait, but I think health issues aside, I think he's a Pro Bowl back very early in his career, possibly as early as year two.
Do you buy Travis Hunter as a two-way player in the NFL?
I know he wants to. We were with Travis as well. Another great kid. He was our Bednarik Award winner. He was with us at the College Football Hall of Fame last year. Magnetic personality, whatever city he does wind up in, he's going to be a fan favorite. He's going to be very popular. Sponsorship deals will come his way in spades. I don't think he's going to necessarily get that opportunity. I think he's going to be a wide receiver who would have possible packages defensively. But you know, throughout the year with all the Heisman discussions, there was a lot of, you know, do we give it to Travis? Honestly, I have not seen a player that unique in the 20 years that I've been covering college football. Elite on both sides of the ball. I don't think we've ever seen that.
You mentioned, you know, your day job is with the with Maxwell Football Club, doing as a vice president of college awards. Is there almost like a proud feeling that you have when you spend a year or sometimes years watching these guys and you select them for help select them for awards, and then not that long later you're seeing them get drafted in the NFL? What does it mean to you personally just watching some of these guys and their next step in their careers?
It's a wonderful insight on your part, Matt. I've never been asked that, but it's a great point. We really do. You know, these are kids that we get to know from the high school level. Keelon Russell was our national high school player of the year. He's Kalen DeBoer's next quarterback, maybe not 2025, possibly next year, at Alabama. We have had these kids going back to Trevor Lawrence before he got to Clemson. We get to know these kids. We get to know their families. Overwhelmingly really good kids. And that's one thing that we've always experienced, to watch them go through college, to work with them in their universities, their SIDs, and then to see them tomorrow night. Yeah, it kind of is personally rewarding for us to have some small part of being involved in that journey as they go to the NFL.
And now I mentioned earlier, now you're working with Phil Steele as well. And I mean, that's the gold standard when it comes to the previews and everything that they do.
Yeah, no, thanks for bringing that up. This is going to sound shameless, but Phil and I have been buddies for about a decade. I have contributed for the past 10 years. This is the first year that I have been working, I would say, half and half, Maxwell and with Phil, putting a lot of time into the magazine. I've never met anyone. There's some great football people out there. No one is more passionate. No one sweats the details more than Phil does. I've worked in his offices in Cleveland. He is borderline maniacal when it comes to the magazine. I know he has started to have his coaches' calls. He talks to usually over 100 head coaches about their roster, who's up, who's down, who's healthy, who's not. Phil's the best, and I'm honored to be contributing this year.
Well, Rich, we really appreciate you taking a few moments with us. Enjoy the draft. Enjoy watching all these kids get to the next stage of their dreams. And I'm sure we'll chat again down the line.
I would love that. Thanks, Matt.
Awesome. Very good. That's Rich Sermonella, one of the really good guys out there, and love being able to talk football with him. NFL draft getting underway coming up tomorrow night. Here's what we've got still coming up this hour before we get down at 8. And again, at 8 o'clock, Jen Cease is going to be on with City Spotlight. Got a funny text message, said, I sounded a little too excited about a scoreless tie. It was after a bunch of losses in a row, it was good to see them at least get a point. But I get your point, and maybe you're right on that. But we'll hear a little bit from Blues coach Jim Montgomery in our next segment. We'll try to close the book on the Cardinals conversation after that. It's all coming up. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, continuing to take you until 8 o'clock this evening. Once I am done, Jen Cease takes over, and she's got you from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock talking all things City Soccer with the City Spotlight. So that's going to be coming up here in just a little while. The St. Louis Blues, they are not in a great spot right now, but they have not yet played any home games here in the playoffs. They went to Winnipeg and lost the first two games. Games, if you look at, you can find ways they could have won either of the games, but they lost game 1-5-3 and then a 2-1 loss in game number 2 of the series. Jim Montgomery, the Blues head coach, he spoke with the media earlier today in front of tomorrow's game number 3 over at the Enterprise Center. Wanted to have some fun with audio. We'll go back through and play for you much of what Montgomery had to say when speaking with the media. And one of the big topics of conversation today was the Blues being better in front of the other net, where they've worked very hard in front of their own net and have done a nice job. But when it comes to scoring, they need to be better in front of the other net. And that is certainly something that is an emphasis right now for the team going into tomorrow.
Sometimes you got to credit the opposition. And sometimes, you know, we need to reinforce it, you know. And I think we've talked a lot about defending our net, but I don't think we talked enough as a coaching staff, myself in particular, about being heavy at their net front.
And taking that one step forward, there's kind of a line of questioning for Montgomery, talking about putting the puck on net, how important that can be, playing close to the net, all of that, and how it all adds up to eventually scoring more goals.
I do not track shots on net. I don't think any of the teams I've coached have ever been in the top 10 shots on net. With that, you do have to recognize we need to put more pucks at the net when we have people at the net. And we haven't done that.
Chances for your
instead of shots?
Yeah, it's about grade A chances, you know, trying to get as close to the net as possible or having two inside and double layered screens, deflections, rebounds.
In terms of getting to the net front, how much of it is just a mentality for guys to get there?
Yeah, it's always a mentality. It's an attitude. You know, there's a reason why, you know, I'm going to pull out an old name, but someone like Dino Cicerelli or Dave Andrechuk scored so many goals. They weren't scoring from outside the tops. They were right at the net front. Tim Kerr is another great name. Keith Kachuk, Scott Mellenby. Better throw a few Blues in there, right?
We saw Jimmy Snuggerud pick up his first playoff goal. And Snuggerud, I've talked about this a lot. He's done a really nice job of just kind of stepping in, and it feels like he should be there. He fits well in practice today. He was out there and he was continuing. You just kind of look at the elevation of his importance to this team and how they've used him in so many different spots. He was on the top line today, and we'll see what it ends up looking like tomorrow. But Montgomery kind of assessed where Snuggerud was at and the progress that he saw from him going from his first ever NHL playoff game to his second one.
Good. I thought the first game, I thought, you know, maybe a little bit of nerves. I don't know. It's Stanley Cup playoffs. It's a whole nother level he's never seen in his life. And then he quickly adjusts. He's a really smart, competitive player. And you could tell that he adjusted to the speed of Stanley Cup playoffs in game two.
So let's get into some of the keys for tomorrow's game. First off, the Blues obviously were so good down the stretch of the season, and you kind of wonder how much of that could carry into the postseason. So far, it seems like not much because they've lost the first two games, obviously competitive games against a very good team, but also on the road. And while Montgomery does accept the fact that maybe there isn't that carryover, he also is looking forward to being able to be on the home ice where the fans can really help.
Regular season, it's playoffs now. We're going to start a win streak in the playoffs. But our crowd is a big part of it.
There is a chance that we are going to see Alexander Texier play. He has not played since March 27th, but he was practicing earlier today on the third line in practice, and Montgomery made it clear that he feels like Texier can help if given the opportunity.
He has incredible self-belief and confidence. He is very, very high-end with the puck, and he does things in practice that not a lot of players I've seen that I've had the fortune of coaching be able to do what he does. So, yes.
One player who was not practicing was Robert Thomas, but Montgomery made it very clear that there's nothing to be worried about. He is definitely going to be in the lineup tomorrow.
Just maintenance day.
Expect him to play.
He's a player tomorrow.
And something Montgomery's been able to do is go with seven defensemen. That actually gives some of the offensive players more of an opportunity, and that seems to be something that Montgomery likes doing.
I did like the rotation. I was able to get our offensive players anywhere from 2 to 3 minutes more. And I thought at times I was able to mix and match our lines to get, you know, some quality face-offs or whatever the case may be that way. So I did like it.
You look at these playoffs so far, and the Blues have been better early than late. And some of that is a credit to Winnipeg for upping their game as the game goes along and maybe even wearing down the Blues a little bit. But Montgomery did talk about what he has seen from his team when it comes to the difference between how they've played in the first period to how they've played in the third.
I think attitude, we come out, and we're being direct, and we're playing a very aggressive game defensively and offensively, and in the third period, we haven't done it as much.
And one way also to make that better is just to be better against Winnipeg's top players, and that's something that, whether it's just being more physical or whatever it might be, Montgomery made it very clear that he does feel like his team does need to be better against those top players, because those are the guys who are really making big plays late in games against the Blues.
We have to be harder on Connor and Shifley. I mean, they've scored the winning goal both nights, you know, and they're making plays on us down low. So, yes, we have to be harder.
That is Jim Montgomery speaking to the media earlier today. Again, the Blues are going to be back at tomorrow, game three of this four-game series. It's going to be a late night over at the Enterprise Center, 8:30 puck drop tomorrow night. It's going to be a loud environment, a fun environment, and hopefully the Blues can get a win and get themselves back into the series. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of the program. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap things up on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Again, when I get out of here, we are going to hand things off to Jen Cease. She's got you for City Spotlight. That's going to be coming up this evening from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. So you will definitely want to be tuned in for that. Talking all things City Soccer. They got a point this past week, so that was good. That's a step forward, I guess you can say, just considering the fact that they had not gotten many points here recently. A scoreless tie against Vancouver, and now they are set to return to action coming up on Sunday as they are going to match up against LAFC. That is going to be on the road, and we'll talk a little bit more about that matchup coming up on tomorrow's Sports Open Line, but you don't have to wait for me to talk about it because you get Jen talking about it for an entire hour coming up beginning after the 8 o'clock news. News right here on KMOX. Just kind of some final thoughts on the Cardinals here, and we've obviously spent a lot of time on them. I would love to, like, I guess my question, like the deep down thing that I would want to know from the brain trust, like leading with, starting with John Mozeliak, the guy who is in control of the major league roster. I'm curious how, like, how aggressive the team is willing to be to make some things better and how patient they can be to see if they get better on their own. And look, I'm not trying to like beat around the bush here. Obviously I'm talking about the bullpen, right? And I'm the, I'm the pump the brakes guy. I'm the, it's early guy. I'm the, it's look at the calendar guy. Like that's who I am. And that's who I've always been. And that's who I'm always going to be. And I'm also the person who believes in a lot of these pieces that are in the bullpen. But I would be lying to you. I would be completely disingenuous if I wasn't able to sit here and admit and talk about the fact that the bullpen right now is letting this team down. And I did think it was interesting what Oliver Marmol had to say in his postgame press conference today, how for if you are a relief pitcher and things are not going well for you, there's a very good chance that you just you pitched your team into a loss. And you know, if you're a position player and things are not going well for you, there's not as much focus. The focus on position players is more about like a larger sampling generally, unless you just have one of those terrible days where luck is really bad, then not only are you not hitting, but you keep coming up to the plate with runners on, and you have one of those like 0 for 5s with 4 strikeouts and you leave 9 runners on base. If that happens, then there's a lot of focus. But that's a pretty rare thing to happen. Generally speaking, if you're an 0 for 5 with 4 strikeouts, like the acknowledgement that it was not a very good day, but we don't really put a lot of definition on it beyond that, where when pitchers get into a bad spot, the team might lose a game and they've got an L next to their name, or they might lose a game and they're the guy who was in there when it was when the team had the lead and they walked out of the game and the team didn't have the lead anymore. Like it's more dramatic, it's more noticeable, it's all that. And that's where the bullpen is at right now. So I want to like reserve judgment a little bit because that's who I am. I'm the guy that realizes that we're talking on April 23rd. But at the same time, and I'm not talking out both sides of my mouth here, I'm also the guy that talks so much about how important it was for the Cardinals to get off to a good start and to not find themselves buried in the standings early on. Now, I would not argue that they are buried in the standings right now. They're 5 games back. They're much closer to last place than first place, that's for sure. They're only a half game in front of the Pittsburgh Pirates. A 5-game deficit isn't something that I worry about too much, but if it grows much beyond that, all of a sudden you are buried a bit and you do have some work to do. And I don't know how built this team is. Now, again, they've played 25 games. I'm not worried about a five-game deficit 25 games in the year. But I can be I can acknowledge the fact that so far this year, the bullpen has not given this team the best opportunity to win games. And I think what we've seen from a starting pitching standpoint and also from a hitting standpoint, I can sit here and confidently say that this team is good enough in those areas to at least contend for a playoff spot, be in contention. I'm not saying they're going to win the division. I'm not saying they're for sure going to get a playoff spot, but I feel very comfortable saying that those two areas are good enough for this team to definitely contend for a playoff spot, but it's been the bullpen that has let them down at this point in time. So the question goes back to the level of patience you have. Do you have all the patience in the world because this is a transition year? Because this is a year where you want to learn about guys? It doesn't feel like, how do I say this? If that's the attitude you're taking as an organization, then why hasn't Matt Swanson pitched? Right? Like they're trying to win games with guys who have a track record of high leverage moments. And you don't need runway for Phil Maton, right? Like you don't need runway for the that's not what this transition year is. So if they kept Chris Roycroft around and they said this guy is going to learn on the job at the big league level, and if they kept throwing out if Matt Swanson would pitch and things like that, then I think we could sit here and say, okay, this team is focusing on the future, focusing on who these guys are going to be, trying to help these guys learn and get experiences and everything like that at the big league level. But instead, we see Phil Maton pitch 13 out of the first 23 games, and he's been great. His arm might fall off, but he's been great for the most part. I think we obviously saw that he was worn down here recently, and that's why it was important for him not to pitch today. But you know who Jojo Romero is. You're still learning a little bit about Ryan Fernandez because he's only 1 year in, but he's a guy who was a high leverage guy last year. It's not like you're sitting here giving all these opportunities. So if you're not running things like this is a year to give opportunities, then how long do you just sort of keep going with what's happening right now in the bullpen before you try to make some external changes? And Oliver Marmol talked today about he doesn't feel like there's a lot of guys at Memphis that could come in and help this team right away. Okay, like that says that they don't believe in Riley O'Brien completely. They don't believe in some other guys. And maybe that's not fair because and look, again, going back to Matt Swanson, you put him on the 40-man roster for a reason in the offseason, and now you're being very careful in how you want to use him, and you don't want to destroy a guy's confidence and that sort of thing. But he's on the team. You don't want to play with a 25-man roster when you got 26 guys on it. You don't want to play a man down in the bullpen, especially when the bullpen has been used a whole bunch. So I am curious. Do they look outside the organization like they did with Maton? And I know they always had focused in on trying to get a veteran guy into the bullpen, and that was Maton. But a guy like David Robertson is sitting out there. There's been some other things that have happened here recently where some other individuals are available out there. I don't know. That's the thing that Tristan McKenzie is somebody who was with Cleveland who was just designated for assignment. And now there is a Cleveland connection to the Cardinals because of Rob Serfolio. Is that a guy that they take a look at? If they are going to manage this thing like they're trying to really win games and that the runway thing doesn't really apply to the pitching, well then maybe they'll be more aggressive in trying to add to pitching at some point in time. When I talk about Tristan McKenzie, for example, you don't really know what anybody thinks about him in the organization that might have connections to Cleveland. He's been a starter most of his career, although this year when he was in there, he was not starting. So I'm just kind of throwing things out here right now because the bullpen is an issue and you want to fix it. You don't want to, and I don't think you want to wait too long if you, if again, you really feel like this year can be a year where you put things together and compete while still trying to do the other stuff that the organization has talked about. We'll talk about this much more on the program tomorrow. That's going to just about do it for the show today. Again, Jen Cease is up next with City Spotlight. Thanks so much for being tuned into the program today. And all Cardinals off day tomorrow, so full 2-hour Sports Open Line tomorrow night as well, right here on KMOX.